Welcome to the OFX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton, and no Bethany Wright with me here, but she'll be here for interviews. We got two interviews with two of the top female hybrid athletes in the world, Tara Jackson and Vivian Tufudo. Oh, and this episode is brought to you by Duonamic, makers of great door frame pull-up systems, grip apparatus would probably be the right thing to say. Anyway, I'm not going to take up a lot of time here. I'm just going to get right to the interviews, and let's start with Vivian Tufudo. Person everyone recognizes, Vivian Tufudo.
So recognizable.
You were in Target. That guy knew who you were.
Yes. Are we sure he wasn't just being nice?
No, I'm not sure, but I think so. He seemed legitimately into it. Like, he was a fan. I mean, I'm not like, I don't know that he had Vivian Tufudo posters on his wall, but, and maybe it's good he didn't, but.
But he knew
what was going on. He was excited about the women's field, especially. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Just dude I met in Target, ready to go.
Love it. That's awesome. I love, like, it's nice hearing people get excited about the sport, people talking and stuff. It's cool.
Does it get on your nerves sometimes that you are seeming to be like less recognized or definitely underestimated?
It doesn't bother me at all. I think, again, the more people that talk about it, like, that just means that it's getting bigger and people care. I think that's really cool. And I'm never going to get mad at people's opinions or, like, not being recognized or anything. I mean, there's a lot of really good people in it. So I wouldn't be bothered, except if it precluded me from any, like, entry to any competitions or something that I feel like I would have earned, like, a right to compete in, I would say. Like, any opportunities. Then I'd be bothered. But other than that, just happy to be here. Truly.
I like it. I think it's funny. I think it's actually, it amuses me when we see people, like, I think it was at High Rocks in Chicago when there was somebody talking to you about how great the women's field were going to be. And you were just kind of looking at them like, yeah, it's going to be good. He had no idea you were in it.
More power for me, man. I like being sneaky.
Well, I don't think you can do it anymore. We were just looking at the standings. So you're sitting second for DECA.
Yeah, I think I am. Yeah.
Did you expect to be there? Like,
I mean, I've dropped a lot of time from High Rocks this past season, so I expected that there was going to be some time to drop for DECA, and I honestly think that there's even more. And I'm going to go to Orlando. I've decided to race with Megan Terra because better to race against than the two best who have ever done it. So. I was expecting like a time drop, but I think when everybody gets into like a world championship setting, I don't know if that's where I'll end up, if I even go to DECA Worlds, but it's cool to be up there for sure.
All right.
Why would you not go to DECA Worlds?
I'm deciding if it's a good strategical decision for me to do High Rock Sweden to try to get a spot there, or at least another chance to race to see if I can make it to Worlds. So it's going to be the way things are set up. It's the Chicago race is going to be a tough shake to make top three. And then if I just wait for the DC race, you know, then that there's all the pressure on that one race. So I'm considering doing the Sweden race instead, you know, counting on the fact that either some of the top girls will go to DECA Worlds, or even if they don't, then they'll already have secured their spots and we get that rule down.
This is a problem. And I mean, totally wasn't planned here, but this is the problem facing a lot of the women's field. I should say the men's too, but just, it seems to be hitting the women's field harder. I wonder, again, it's a stupid fucking system. It's terrible. So do you have, and forgive me for forgetting, do you have any automatic quals right now for Hyrox, or do you need to go back in? Like, do you right now, where do you sit right now as far as the quals go?
I'm secured into every major.
Okay, so if you're secured into every major, but you only really have a chance to go to Sweden, Chicago, and the next, and we'll say Washington.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We'll do anything I possibly can to avoid trying to go to Hong Kong for a last chance qualifier.
That'd be cool.
I don't know about that amount of travel. That's pretty crazy.
Sleds will be fast.
What?
Sleds will be fast.
Sleds will be super fast for sure. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm still miffed about the way they're doing it. But either way, regardless of what you do, the women's field at DECA, which was going to be absolutely unbelievable, I'm now finding out could 100% be like a 50-50 split between Sweden and DECA. I think there's a lot of women with the same idea that you're having, is that there's just not enough chances at Hyrox to make the final, and that, you know, there could be more money to be made in one race at Hyrox there than there would be at DECA, unless you're involved in all three and have a shot at podium of all three. Like, I mean, I don't know. Do you have what's your mile and your strong this year? Have you done that? Have you got that set for that?
Yeah, I'm in the top 10 for strong. I think I'm going to do a mile the very last weekend. Just get a time in that will hopefully be top 10. So that's the plan right now.
And then that way you can base your decision on all that.
Yep. I mean, I don't know when we're supposed to declare. Obviously, like, earlier is better, and I don't want to make things difficult for people if I do or don't decide to go. But I'm not sure when I'll be able to have a good decision on which one I'm going to go to. So still very up in the air for me.
I think it's after the last one. So the last DECA is next weekend, right? Orlando?
It's the 16th is the Orlando race.
So I think that's...
Yeah, I think September 17th is the last day to qualify.
And then I think you got about 2 weeks to declare before they start doing rolldowns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not very long. I could be wrong on that. You'll have to look. I actually mentioned it to Yancey the other day in passing, and I don't think he knew off the top of his head, because he's like, oh shit, I think it's on the website. You gotta, you know, check out there. So I haven't delved into there. It's somewhere buried in the rules, probably on Zendesk. But my mind says probably like 2 weeks or less.
Yeah, for sure.
And then there'll be a better picture of what's going on. But yeah, it could be the most stacked women's field ever. Or it could be a 50-50 split, or I don't know. It could be.
So, Dave, like, you've heard other women are potentially considering Sweden over DECA World.
Well, you got to think somebody like, okay, let's take Michaela Norman and Viola, right? They're both over there. I mean, I would think, especially for them, that'd probably take a couple out. You got to think there's some other women. Yeah. I mean, Meg, Tara, Lauren, Vivian, Alundra, all facing the same question. Like, you know, maybe take Meg out of that because her qual is straight through, you know. So you think mostly with like Tara and Alundra, they're kind of more on the edge, you know. It's a tough one. It's tough to know because of the way it works, where you have to have that. You want that locked in qual, because the time based qual is such a freaking gamble.
There is no time based qualifier.
Well, it can be if it ends up that you don't get everybody through the because of roll downs and stuff. I think if you don't get everybody last, there still could be. Sorry, time based qualifier. You need a time based qualifier to get in the major. So if you do not have anything to get into a major, let's say Tara, because Tara right now is. Her qual for the majors is based on her time.
Right.
But other times are coming in now. Right. So she could get bumped out, which means she could jump on it early to get in the major. Otherwise, she's got to run another one.
Right.
Because her time could get knocked out. Then she's got to run another one to qualify. Then she's got to go to the major, and then she's got to get a position there. And it just, it's tough. It's a very, very tough. I don't like, and I mean, no, this is good for you. I don't like all the already qualified, because
right.
it takes away so many spots now automatically and makes so much harder for other people to get in. I've said it a dozen times, and I'll say it again. I think all the majors should be open.
Yeah.
And then positions from those majors go on to Worlds. And then it's simple. So that you just say, well, I'm going to this major because this one worked for me geographically, financially. And if I don't get in there, fine. I got to jump on another one. At least I had my day to compete fairly and not worry about it. So maybe they'll come around. But I,
yeah. I mean, I think part of like one of the interesting things that I think that everybody probably agrees is not the best is the whole, like, the entire calendar year of 2023, as well as like all of the automatic spots getting into the majors. But I think that they did that to kind of reconcile the fact that there weren't really any North American races before the majors. So maybe that's what they were trying to do there, was say, okay, like, there's no North American races, so we're going to kind of allow everybody to grandfather in with the 2023 calendar year times. But it would have been just a lot easier, I think, if they would have said, okay, like, everything starts over, but not cancel the Miami race.
Yeah, the Miami race would have been on the beach and been shit anyway, at least for qualifying.
Oh, if it was outside, dear God. Those people who did that last year are different animals.
Well, I think it was the only time we saw Dylan, like, collapsed on the floor.
Yeah, yeah. That's when you know.
Do you think the new one makes sense? Or do you think, like, how would you set it up?
How would I set it up?
Yeah, how would you set it up? You're like a math wizard here. How would you set it up?
God. I mean, I just wish, obviously, in a perfect world, it would just be nice where the courses were all uniform and we could just take the times. So that would be so accessible to everybody. But for whatever reason, that seems to be impossible. So given the constraints that we have, and knowing that that the courses aren't going to be all the same, I mean, I like the idea of the open majors seed people by their best times, so that, you know, the best times going in do have the best opportunity, I guess, to race against the best, and probably the best chance of doing well, unless, you know, you get out too fast with the best and then blow up. But I like that idea, the open majors, and I'm just trying to think how you can, the only problem with that then is deciding where they're going to be, because, like, when we were sitting in the High Rocks, when the High Rocks team was rolling out the new idea for the idea of the majors and everything at World Championships, I think all of the Americans were very fired up, obviously, because we felt in the past that our slower courses kind of slight us a bit. And one of the High Rocks people responded, like, well, we could just make it like the Olympics and make it only three per country. And America is our least popular region. So I don't know. I don't want to poke the bear too much, because, you know, it seems like a lot of top performers are coming out of America. But if we're not, if they're doing it based on participation, or if they're going to do a country cap, like, if we complain too much, we could be shooting ourselves in the foot. So, and it ultimately it is their company, and we're just kind of along for the ride. And obviously we want to make it, we want the system to be fair enough so that people come and don't feel slighted, but I don't know. I don't know the answers, to be honest. I like the idea of the open majors. And then I guess that's the hard part, right? Attributing how many different spots come from each major, right? Even if they are open.
Yeah. I would just say, I think the only tricky thing about making the majors open is, like you say, deciding where they're going to be. But then, I mean, right. I don't know how many majors do they have now? Is it like,
four.
If you include the last, but and then two last chance qualifiers, right? So six. I would have just made it five, three, top three from each one. Off you go.
Right. And then roll downs.
Yep. Roll downs.
Yep.
That way, three people from each major off. It's simple. It's clean. Nobody can complain. Well, people will always complain, but it's, you had your shot. You raced your day. You didn't make it. Go to another one.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the sketchy thing would be the locations. But yeah, I think that's probably, that's still tough, I think, also for, like, depending on where they are regionally, that I think there's still going to be, well, I guess this is just what you have to do with a lot of people traveling from different countries. You know, if there's an American one, like looking at, so I got fourth at Worlds, right? The top three people that beat me are American. So I'm going to have to, you know, hop flights probably to different places, but you know, that's the name of the game, I guess. So
it's going to be screwy one way or another. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So we're backtrack a bit. So DECA Philly, going into DECA Philly, how are you feeling? And like you came out, you put in a killer race. Did you, I've never even known, okay, you're training. How do you train? Because all we know is Vivian's a swimmer. So I'm assuming you're doing more than swimming.
I'm not swimming at all.
That's why you lost to me in the race.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. For those of you that don't know, Dave challenged me to a race and he won by default.
That's right. He did not show up. Actually, Carly Wopat offered to fill in for you because we ran into her at the pool. And but she had to go too quickly. I needed to stretch and get warmed up, and she wasn't willing to wait around. So I won that one too. So that's actually, I beat both of you.
Wow, 2-0.
2-0. That's right. Yeah. Sorry, Carly. What are you going to do? All right. So yeah, so you're training, because I don't think a lot of people know what you're doing. And you have a running coach now?
Yeah, so I work with Ian Hosek, and he does a lot of my, I mean, he does the majority of my programming now. So I guess, like, big picture, I do, like, Monday today is a non-impact aerobic workout, which depending on the time of year ranges from like 45 minutes to 90 minutes. Tuesday mornings, I usually do some kind of tempo of running and or like some kind of pyroxen. Tuesday night, I'll make some kind of long EMOM of machines and lighter movements. Wednesday morning, I hit a more running specific lift and then some accessory stuff. Wednesday night, I hit another run. Thursday morning is more speed work. Thursday night is higher intensity, non-running, but machine and functional fitness stuff. Friday's off. Saturday, I run a lot. Sunday, I run and then lift at night, which is like the worst workout of the week is my Sunday night lift, because I just don't want to do it ever. But yeah, that's a kind of like a broad stroke of what I'm usually up to.
I like Saturday. Saturday, I run a lot.
Saturday, I run a lot. Well, a lot for me. That's probably not, I need to remember that we're talking to some ultra people. I run a moderate amount.
So. Moderate. All right. Compared to me, it'll be a lot, because my running is way down, which feels great. My knees love it.
Oh, yeah. My Achilles has been bothering me. So it's been a while. So yeah, it's my body definitely takes a hit from all the running, but I like the running. So I just deal.
Right. So you went into DECA and you knew it was going to be a kick-ass women's field, and it was a kick-ass women's field. How did you feel going in? What was your, did you have a goal? Did you have a time plate? Did you have a time or placement goal? Or are you just going in, I'm just going to go run my run and it is what it is?
I always looking for a PR. I felt like I was in good fitness and could do that. So I wanted to run a good race and just kind of keep up with Meg the best I could. I came out of the, but I knew Meg was going to take it out fast, and I knew like there was a bunch of really good runners. So I was trying not to get in over my head, because sometimes that happens, but, I felt pretty comfortable, honestly, on a lot of the runs, but we came to those lunges, and I remember coming out of the lunges, and I'm like, all right, where's Meg? And I'm like, where's Meg? And then I'm like, where is she? And she was already like half a lap ahead, and I was like, all right, well, I'm just gonna try to do my best here. But yeah, I think, I just show up kind of wanting to race race whoever's there and do my best. And I've been running a lot. It's hot here in Texas, obviously. So a lot of heat training, kind of throwing off my running paces. And so I kind of felt like I've been running well, but it's a little bit hard to tell. But I kind of have faith in what I'm doing and working hard and just kind of trying to do what the workouts kind of to really just make sure that I'm doing what my workouts require of me. So I feel like I could hit a good time, and those were the right people to be around to do it. So, yeah.
So Beth, you saw firsthand, what's her running like?
Yeah. I was obviously in the race with you, and yeah, I was very impressed. Your running looked very, very strong. And I think, yeah, kudos to you. Because I was one of those runners that took it out really hot. But yeah, and I think testament to you, like one of the biggest things that I really noticed in that race is the people that are really solid on their compromise running, and like your running really takes off the more compromised it gets. So as the race gets longer and the more we're fatigued and coming in and out of the stations, and like your running just keeps getting stronger. And another kudos to you, you smashed the bike. I think you and Carly had the two fastest bike splits of the day. So I don't know if that's something that you've really been working on, but geez, yeah, you smashed that bike.
I mean, a good part of it on that in the machines is just like my size. So it plays to an advantage there. And then I just kind of got to deal with it on some of the station or not the state. A lot of the stations, I think, really, at least in DECA, are very helpful to be large. So it's just really the running that I just kind of gotta deal with the disadvantage of that. But I think the size helps a lot for sure.
Do you guys think the DECA station should be? So I mean, the weights are dropped for the lunges and for the burpees and for farmer care and whatnot. All the weights are dropped. Do you think the machine should be scaled for women too?
No, I don't think so. I think that if the bike was based on meters instead of calories, you would see a lot of the differences between, like the difference between the guys and girls wouldn't be as stark as it is on that, because the calories just seems to really benefit if you can get on there and just absolutely like hammer versus the meters. It's not like the same, I don't know how to say measurement. It doesn't, I don't think it, like, I think that the calories and the meters like have different rates that they go up. So I think that would help kind of even out the differences, but I don't know. I mean, the machines benefit me, so I'm going to say no.
Beth, I imagine you're the other way.
Like, I've never really thought about it too much because like I race what the race is, so it doesn't really matter in the end, but yeah, I would probably benefit if the machines were a little less significant.
I like your idea with the meters and stuff. I've never understood why everything was meters and then they put the bike to calories. I understand how it works. I never got the logic behind the planning of it. I've never asked Yancey about it. I really should. But I mean, yeah, it just seems a little more logical to make it meters. And then it's just as you go, right? It seems a little more even. I don't know. Because calories just seems like such a... I know it's all about output, but I often question whether all the machines are the same, whether they measure the same, whether they're in the same calibration, all that stuff. Whereas meters on a fan bike seems a lot easier to calibrate and to measure, because it's just, you know, RPM essentially is all that does is going to count it. So there's no really isn't going to screw up as much as calories could be. Because you're dealing with output, your RPMs times a certain formula. There's a lot of stuff going on there. That thing's doing a lot of math. And calculation can be different. So, yeah, I like the ideas. I like the meter thing. That's it. I'm going to make him change it.
Yay. I made a contribution today.
I'm sure it'll work. I'm sure it'll happen. Not a chance with everybody getting so excited watching Bubbles do 17 seconds, 25 cals. And
for sure. The way the guys can do that is just absolutely crazy.
He did that sitting beside me in Carolina, and it was just soul crushing. Like, I started 3 seconds before him, and he took 17 seconds, and I'm like, I still got like 15 calories. I'm like, this is fucking stupid.
Oh my God. Yeah, it is weird. Now, I wasn't really thinking about it before, but it is weird that they switched from meters to calories for that. Works for them. It's a spectacle. We all just want to go viral on Instagram, don't we? That's the goal.
Well, you are a noted Instagram phenom.
For sure.
Did you post this month?
I didn't. I was going to get some pictures while I was home and post them, but I just didn't take any pictures. So
I think
we'll have to wait until next time.
Do people bother you? Do people tell you to like do some more posting and stuff like that?
It's mostly you.
I think every time I do that, you should just like post like a picture of a pencil or something.
Here, Dave.
No explanation, just random post, something, trash can, I don't know. Tab going by, anything that makes no sense whatsoever. I think that's
just caption, I trained today, in case you're interested.
I trained today. Here's a picture of a corner in my room.
Just many pictures. If you took my camera roll, it'd be like 95% pictures of cats. So I can just keep posting those and people will be like, what?
That would be perfect. Just dump the camera roll on there. Riley just said she'd follow you for sure. It all be all about that.
Yes. I mean, honestly, who wants to see pictures of sweaty me when you can see pictures of fluffy cats?
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So I have a plan. So I talked to your dad at Philly there a little bit. And
you did?
Yeah, just briefly. And I'm like, dude, why aren't you out here? Why aren't you making her doing a relay with her and all that? And he had lots of excuses. Lots of excuses. He did.
Yeah.
So I think your dad and I should have a race on a strong. I think it would be good. He's a fit dude, man.
He is. I think he's just such like a perfectionist, though, that we were talking about this a lot on the ride home, and he's been traveling a lot. So he's just like, if he wants to compete, he's not like gonna half-ass it for fun. So he's like even just thinking about it, like you can just tell the wheels were turning, and he was like, I don't know if we're gonna get him out there, to be honest. And maybe he just needs to focus on travel and life instead of he's been competing for so many years. So I don't know. Whatever makes you, but he's definitely gonna listen to this. So whatever makes you happy, Dad. No pressure.
What if I went like full McGee then, just taunted him unmercifully?
Trying to think if that would work.
Might backfire. Like, Vivian, who is this asshole who keeps bothering me?
Yeah. Like, who is this guy?
It was good to see him. He looks incredibly fit, and I bet you'd do great. I would have liked to have seen you guys do doubles. I think that would have been great fun.
I know. I wanted to do it, but I'm trying not to pressure him too much, even though I talk about him on every single podcast. So he probably already feels the pressure. So.
In fairness, I brought it up, so it's not your fault.
Yeah.
But awesome. We are a little short for time today, though. So Beth, do you got anything else for Vivian?
Nope. Thanks so much, Vivian. And yeah, you crushed it last weekend. So just all the best and whatever else you choose for the rest of the season. We hope to see you at Deca Worlds, but you need to make the best decision for what your goals are. So keep crushing it, Vivian.
Thanks, guys. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I can't wait to see you at another race. In Chicago? Mm-hmm. Will you guys be at Chicago? Pyrox?
50-50.
50-50? Okay. All right. I'll knock on wood. See you there.
So I'm trying to figure out where to start here. Let's start in reverse order. So this was like a weekend of records. You win some, you lose some.
Yeah, well, I guess two double weekends. Lose one weekend and then gain one the next weekend.
All right, so you weren't in Philly. You probably should have been had you known that it was going to be like that.
I didn't know that it was the place to be, apparently. I figured that I obviously like Megan Alondra would be there, but I didn't expect really anybody else to be there, at least when I was planning my schedule. So I'd already planned to go down to Native X that weekend and then hit Orlando. So I missed out.
So, but in a way, it's kind of cool though. Did you ever get to watch it?
No, I still haven't watched it yet. I need to analyze the way the race went. I mean, obviously I've looked at the splits and stuff and gotten real I don't think that I can be queen of the bike if like Meg and Vivian are throwing down like 130. The gauntlet thrown.
Yeah, well, three women were 130.
Yeah, Carly it was also.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, it's a pretty fast bike. I was sub 130 in the mile. I mean, now I gotta try to recreate that for a whole fit. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I try to make up time other places. I gotta figure out the game plan. 'Cause I looked at the splits from Meg's record and what I ran at World Championships, and really we would have went into the burpees like within a few seconds of each other. Obviously she burpeed in like 58 seconds, but like we would have been really tight into the burpees. But I think my burpees were like 114 or something like that. So
That's crazy. 58 seconds for the burpees after that is crazy. Like I remember
yeah.
Beth and I did a strong relay and she did them in 52, but that was in a relay and everybody was like, wow, 52 seconds, that's fast. And then to do close to that in at the end of a fit where you've been flying, like she was moving.
I did see the video of her doing the burpees, and it was a little scary. I was like, it's kind of like the people when I think about high rocks, like Miriam. I would always be like, well, I can't like enter the wall balls. Like, I need at least a minute and a half. I can't do the burpees. I need at least like probably, I don't know, a good 15 seconds into the burpees. 'Cause Meg was also like by herself. If she was, I mean, maybe she could probably even do faster. She has someone right beside her. So I wouldn't want to go into the burpees with anything less than 20 seconds.
I don't know. I don't know if she could go faster because she put it all out there that day. She had that record on her mind from.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing too is she wasn't wearing a watch. So she was just thinking, like, chase the time. So I think that's really why she was pushing so hard at the end.
And she definitely was, facing the spent some time on the floor after she crossed that line. She wasn't fresh. So
Yeah.
I think she gave it all she got. Could she go faster? Maybe, but she definitely didn't hold back. It wasn't one of those, oh, I've got a good
Yeah.
lead. Like Dylan built his lead and then went, okay, this is where I am. This is what I'm going to do. She didn't do that. She kept pushing.
She sent it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I never underestimate Meg.
No.
I don't underestimate anybody that can do 100 unbroken wall balls at the end of an ordeal of high rock.
I thought that was mandatory for women now.
Well, not for me. I'd be happy if I could just do 100 wall balls at what they do at the end of a race. Be pretty pumped that fresh too, not at the end of a race. Yeah. I mean, that's just next level. I don't know. Maybe one day, but probably not. I think I was talking to somebody about the wall balls today because they were asking, like, what's harder, like Deca or High Rocks? And I was like, High Rocks. Like, not even like a question. But I think so much of the wall balls is mental. Like, I think for me at least, like, I take more breaks than I probably need to. But I just, it just, it's just hard. It's like mentally everything is telling you, stop. This sucks. It's awful. Like, just take a little break.
Yeah. Well,
It's
just
such.
like the rep numbers in High Rocks are daunting.
Yeah. So, like,
Like
at
you're
least.
hundreds.
Yeah. 100 is ridiculous. So, at least with Deca. Okay. Well, this is going to take me about a minute. Like, I can push for a minute. But with the wall balls, like, I mean, even if you do a good wall ball, it's going to take you like 3.5 minutes, which is a long time when you're hurting.
Yeah, after all that output, and then you're into that to finish it. But
Yeah.
come on, you are the one who says hurt harder. Come on, that's supposed to be your jam.
I know, until I met all the other High Rocks people. I'm used to runners, man. These level runners like hurt, but they don't hurt like High Rocks people hurt. High Rocks people got like some kind of mental disorder or something. It's unreal. Like, I feel like the level that they, I don't know. I mean, Bethany probably gets this too. Like, running is so much about pacing, and
Yeah.
I have to unlearn like all that when you do hybrid. Like, it's like there's no actually good way to pace. You just have to be able to sit with being uncomfortable for a really long time, and it's just gonna hurt, and it's gonna be awful. Like, I feel like most running races, like, you don't really even hurt to like the last, like, I don't know, 10th of the race. Like, if you're in a marathon, a half marathon, maybe like the last 2 miles hurt. Or like, I mean, I think if you run a good race, it's probably only tough like the last mile or so.
Everything else is just pacing.
Everything else is just pacing. Like, I don't know, hybrid is not like that. You got to get uncomfortable early. You got to sit there, and it's so different than a running race. And I feel like it's so hard to unlearn that pacing. Like, that was one thing with the mile this past weekend, because it seems like, oh, it's like a 5K because it's like 19 minutes. Like, you pace it like a 5K. Like, you can't. You just have to rip it. And I don't know, somehow it works.
All right, so when you guys are running any running races, and people talk about this, and I know I do this all the time, you start making deals with yourself, just get to this point, and then you can do this, and then you're lying to yourself, but you're doing it anyway. You're making these deals, and then going to go. At what point in the hybrid races do you guys start making those deals? Because for me, when I'm running, it's instant. It is instantly horrible. It's terrible right off the get go. I'm making a deals 200 meters in. It doesn't matter how long the run is, but. With you say with hybrid and Hyrox and Decade, when do you have to start making those deals?
I feel like Hyra, I mean, I feel like Deca, it's a little bit easier, in my opinion, to pace because everything's so aerobic. But like, I think the really good Hyrox athletes, their heart rate is able to come down a lot in the strength stations. So I feel like in Deca, I don't really push until like I'm really paced out until about the farmer's carry. And then the work starts. But with Hyrox, it's like they take out really fast, and then they, I don't know, it's like they don't get slowed down by the strength. So I don't know, my strategy for Hyrox is still evolving.
All
Maybe.
right. Go ahead.
But I think that racing Meg will be interesting because I think she's going to take me out of the way I like to race, because she's going to take it out early.
So,
And not,
well, Megan Philly did not take it out hard.
I bet you she took it out faster than 6 minute pace the first 500.
That's true.
And only to turn, like, I think she ran like 1940 something. So, like, you're taking out
1948. Yeah.
first 500, like, almost 20 seconds faster than like you're gonna actually race. I mean, that's pretty hot. You know, I mean, like, in comparison, imagine if you ran your first 5K and the first like 500 meters, you're gonna run it at 5:40 pace, but you only anticipate you're gonna run 6 minute pace. It's
Is
not
that
like,
not advisable?
I mean, not in run, but in hybrid, I mean, it that's how you have to race it, because if you get too much separation from the lead pack, it's hard to like work your way back into it. But I feel like you see a lot of like runners can keep up, like pure runners in the first like five stations, like in Carolina, Michelle, yeah,
Navarro.
Navarro.
like, she's, you know, more of a pure runner. So we ran together to like the ski, but like having some weight on those, like even the skier, like having a little bit of weight on that station, and then all the ones after that, like, I think start to wear the runners down. So you have to have like still not like a strength base like Hyrox, but definitely some sort of strength base. And I feel like when Lauren Stroud was still running, like that's kind of where you would start to see the gap close, because she would be able to put some space between her and everybody else because the first few stations are pretty light. But then like her only probably being like 110 pounds really disadvantages her to the end of the race. So it's like, if you are a lighter racer, you probably need to try to make that gap at the early. It's going to be hard for you to keep up, especially on stations like the bike and the sled, which are a huge part of the race. Like, I mean, the difference between the top bike and a, you know, like a mid pack bike is probably close to a minute.
Yeah.
And then the sled, maybe even similar. I think Meg pushed like low 2 minutes, and then I bet like mid pack's probably like high 2 minutes. Yeah. So you already have like almost 2 minutes gap in two stations. So to have that strength at the end of the race is pretty important in Deca, even if it's not as glaring as it is in High Rocks.
Yeah, dude. So how do you combat that? Do you go out even faster?
Me, no, because I'm heavier. So.
All right, Beth, how do you combat that? Do you go out even faster?
Well, that's a good question, because I find I do try to pace the first bit so that I have something for the bike still. So, because otherwise I find if I go out too hot, I'm blowing up on the bike. And then I think for me, like the carnage that can happen at the bike is so bad if I hit the bike and I'm blowing up, so it's not worth it. So like I pace, and then if I can do like moderately well at the bike, then that's kind of how I try to race it. Like I know I will never have a top time in the bike ever, ever, ever. So I try to go into the bike feeling okay, so I can do like mildly okay-ish on the bike.
Yeah. I mean, just like anything, there's going to be a pace that if it puts you over, then it's not productive. So you have to find like where that is. It's unfortunate that the bike is not like the ski and the row. So it's like the watts that you can produce is more exponential. So like yeah. That's what you get, like people in the relays, they can pump out a 25 second bike or sub 25. But like the difference even between a fast ski in like individual and relay is probably only going to be like 10 to 15 seconds. Which is not that big of a difference when you compare like a relay bike to an individual bike.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And even just your bad bike to your good bike, right? Like if I have a good, say a row, even if I have a good row, I'm like, you know, 145 to 150. If I have a bad row, I'm 150 to 155. Like it's not even 10 seconds different.
Yeah.
Where your probably. Bike, it could be a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's why too, on the row and the ski, like it's important to like kind of know where you should be at, because a few seconds could like really put you over, and like it's not even worth it. Like if you lose like 2 seconds there, but it like blows you up, then I don't know. I'm trying to find that now. Like it feels like a few extra seconds in that ski is like not worth trying to push it, but it's like I know that everybody else is going to be pushing it, so I'm like, you got to get the seconds too though where you can.
Well, when it comes to the row and the ski, I've been studying I don't know if you know Ivan Milan, but he's no Ivan Milan is like he actually trains at Underdog Fitness, but he's in my age group, and he always wins like concept two. I think he has a world record for their 2K, the world record for their ski. Like he just is a beast on the machines, and I've been studying his stuff, but I haven't figured out how to be 6'4 and 240 yet.
That's what I was going to say. How big is he?
He's a big man, but he's also like, he's just good. Like you watch him and his form is beautiful. So it's not just that he's big. He's got great form too, but yeah. Yeah.
But you could great form, and no offense, Dave, but you ain't breaking no 2K world records.
No. No matter how good my form is.
I know. It's like, there's just like, you're just built for it. Like, but I mean, it doesn't mean that you can't be good, but that guy's just going to be next level. That's why I'm surprised. I haven't actually looked at Carly's splits, but I feel like she should be a really good rower and skier because she's just so tall.
I think she is, but she also played it smart as well and tried to conserve herself because she knew the runs would be hard. I think she, in that race, I think she ran like as, I don't want to say as good a race as she could, but I think she ran a very smart race.
Yeah. It was her first one too. So, I mean, figuring out the pacing, I think there's a pretty decent improvement usually from first to second race, just because you're figuring out how to pace it. But
yeah,
she purposely put herself at the back of the pack at the first run.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. She did not run what you would call your typical rookie race.
I was impressed with her running at Grit Games.
Yeah. Yep.
I was impressed. She's fucking tough. I think she has a lot of grit, and we'll see how she does, how her running improves. She's definitely an advantage to the machine work and stuff, but you still got to run with, 6'2" and 180 pounds. So it's still a lot to run with.
Yeah. I was impressed too with her burpees. Like, her burpees are great for someone of that size. You know, she's not slow on them. She's pretty quick.
Yeah. That 22 pounds is moving her hairbrush.
22 pounds is too light anyway. Should be 33 for you guys.
Nah. Damn, perfect.
Come just on, give us something.
If we could just add maybe an extra machine. I don't know what machine I'd want. I don't know, Jacob's ladder or something.
Well, oh, that'd be good for me.
Rope climb machines. I like those.
Yeah. Something like that. But
need some kind of pull up. There's no pull ups in hybrid racing.
Pull ups are one of those things I don't know that you'd like to judge. And there's counting. Remember, no counting, Dave.
I don't think I don't like counting. That's why I just say
it has to be something that everybody can do.
Well, yeah, if it's Becca, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But even high rocks is something that everybody can do. Like, it's hard. But
I mean, not everybody can lunge or wall ball. I mean,
well, we've seen not everybody can wall ball.
Yeah. I mean, I heard the judging at Dubai was pretty sus.
I didn't see it all. I did watch a bit when Kent was going, and some people were calling Kent out for his reps. I don't think they were that bad. I've seen a lot worse.
Yeah, but standard is the standard, Dave. It's not like, oh, it's not that bad. Like,
apparently it is.
Is it standard, or was he not this to the standard?
It's you can't tell too well from the camera angle that it was, but I'm sure there were some that were no go that should have been no reps. But it's not like everyone was shit. Like, I've seen ones where it looked like people were playing volleyball. Like, it's been that bad. So I can't say that one was. I didn't see enough of it to know how bad it was. I didn't even get a chance to watch the women's one yet.
Yeah, I mean, I heard Lauren went unbroken, which obviously doesn't surprise me.
No.
See, I just feel like if I was Lauren and I had kind of that much of a lead, maybe I'd just take a little 10-second break, get in, shake my arms out a little bit,
Have a cup of coffee.
have a little sip of my coffee, I don't know. But I think they just get in it, and then they just I don't think it's an option for them. I think those people that go unbroken, they don't even think about how they're going to break it up. They're just I'm going to go unbroken. There's no other option except going unbroken.
But don't see, I kind of do understand. I'm not saying I can do it, but I get that way with a farmer's carry. I'm like, I'm not setting this shit down. It's like, I don't care how much it would benefit me. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Well, the farmer's carry is only
No, but I'm just saying, I'm using that as an example for the mindset, right?
Yeah. I feel like, though, I don't know what it is about wall balls. It's just I don't know. I feel like mentally to get my head around doing 100 unbroken at the end of a race is just a lot.
So you should just do make that mental deal. All right, I just got to get to 75 and then I can break. And then you're going to get to 75 and go, well, I'm almost there, so I'm not going to break.
I mean, I was pretty pumped when I got to in New York. I did 40-30-30, and I was pretty pleased with that. Two stops. I was like, that's not bad. Better than Chicago. I think my first set was 6.
But were they good reps?
Yeah, but they were like almost 5 minutes. So
right. We've seen some
races, they've been doing better on the judging. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen anything heinous.
So speaking of wall balls, you went down to Native X and you did some wall balls there. How were the 30? Did they make you use the 30 pounders?
The men used the 30 and women used 20.
How'd that feel? And did you use the bucket? I think you used the bucket. Damn right.
If they're going to give me the bucket, I'm going to use the bucket, man. Well, the first race, which was the heavy race, I used the 20. And then the second race was the lighter race and you used the 14.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was fine. It was not bad because it was only 50.
It was still 50 of them, though. And so, yeah. So tell me a little bit about Native X, because I mean, you know,
it's so much better than 100. Like, it just sounds better coming off your mouth. 50.
Were you
50.
Unbroken?
You can do 50. Not with the 20. With the 20, I think I broke down like 20, 20, 10. Okay. And then 14. But it was fun. Like, the carries were all like the same weight for men and women. I don't know how much the sandbag was, probably like 50 pounds. So you had to run up and down a hill, and then you pick up the jerry cans that were 50 pounds a piece. Those things were heavy. Like, so, and like lots of walls and stuff. I like the concept, like a little bit of everything. Obviously, I got stuck on the rig for a bit, but then I learned how to monkey my way across. So, I was glad that I didn't give up, though, because when I figured it out, I was like, oh, that's not that bad. But if I wouldn't have figured it out on the short course and then I would have tried to run the long course, I think I would have got frustrated and probably lost my band at both of them, which would have been really sad.
Yeah, but yeah, you ended up doing well. What did they have another one there? Wasn't it like two walking lunges and a burpee or something like that? Or you'd walking lunge to a certain spot, then burpee? Because I thought that looked kind of cool.
So they had cones, and there was 10 cones. And so you would lunge to the cone, do a burpee, lunge to the cone, do a burpee. So it ended up being sometimes you got two, sometimes you got three.
How did that one go as far as a movement?
I don't know. I thought that one was a little bit corny.
Oh, yeah?
I would have preferred it just be like walking lunges. Maybe like we pick something up and lunge with it. Because there was already the burpee step-ups, which I also didn't really care for. I would have liked the burpee step-ups better if you had to do the burpee on the ground and then step up. But you did the burpee on the box. So, like, you're doing a push-up on the box.
Oh, yeah.
So, optically, I think it looked kind of corny. Plus, it just came right after the deadlifts, which I thought were really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, heavy deadlifts, and then you're doing these, like, burpee step up things. So I didn't like that. I would like to see maybe just walking lunges with weight, maybe like a sandbag, and then maybe like box jumps or something there, or I don't know, something different.
What if it was like a straight regular burpee over the box, something like that?
Yeah, I would like that too. Burpee over
or devil
or whatever you want to do, you just have to get over. I'd like that better. So those were maybe the only two I would change. I'd also probably change there was a wall sit. I didn't like that obstacle either.
Wall sit is so it's you form again everywhere. Like so many things can change a wall sit. The angle of your feet, like how far out your legs are compared. Resting your hands on your knees, where you put your back, so much can affect a wall sit. I'm not big on that one.
And that one wasn't like there was not like no like clear rules. Like you could put your hands on your thighs, like mm-hmm. But Yeah, so those were the only three that I'd probably get rid of and do like and lose something else. Like it'd be cool instead of the wall sit. Like obviously everybody probably couldn't do it, but like if you did add the pull-ups, like maybe like if you had bars across and you do five sets of four sets of five or something like that. So you do a pull-up ladder, so five pull-ups, then you go to the next one, five pull-ups, you go to the next one. Something like that.
I like that. I like that. See, I've solved the pull-up judging, right? So to get full extension, because that's usually where the judging problem is, kipping in full extension, is if you do the hip tap pull-ups.
Or may so you get rid of the burpees before and you do the box jumps and then you do burpee pull-ups.
I like burpee pull-ups. The only
Yeah.
problem with that is, again, when you're dealing with different height people. I mean, obviously, if Beth and I are on the same pull-up bar, a burpee pull-up is going to be very different for us. Because I mean, I might jump up and be halfway to the pull-up, whereas she's just doing all she can to jump to the bar. That's the only issue with that.
I think they should just have a girl's standard height and a man's standard height. And if you're tall, you get a little bit of an advantage. It's also like kind of a funner. It's like more of a fun race. Like, so I have a little bit less like judging standards. Like, I think some of it was fun too, because it's like it included more people. So maybe like the burpee step ups aren't really for me, but like they were something that everybody could do that they thought was kind of fun and fitnessy. Same with the wall sits and maybe the walking lunge burpees and stuff like that. So maybe added an element that was more inclusive, which I'm totally fine with in a fun race. Like, I wouldn't take that race like crazy seriously. Like, it's not like a race you're training for, like, oh, this is my A race. I want all the standards to be completely like, I saw some stuff like the wall balls, like people not going to depth and stuff. But, I think for a small event, they put on a really fun and like different thing. And I mean, I do it again. It's fun.
Yeah, I definitely it's always been on my list of stuff I want to do because I mean I just love it. Like, so the obstacles, how are they? Because they said when we talked to him, he said that he had kind of decreased the skill level compared to where it was when he first started. And that way, people like you would be able to get through them.
Yeah, people like me. I mean, I saw people failing stuff. I would say, I mean, maybe like similar ability to like Spartan obstacles. Like, I don't think Spartan obstacles are particularly hard. The only obstacle I ever really had issues with in Spartan was that stupid stairway to heaven with those damn rock climbing grips.
Beth loves that one.
I don't like
Yeah.
that.
When there's no jump plate, yes.
Oh, they have a jump plate?
Randomly, sometimes.
Oh.
Rarely ever. Never in Canada, but
I've never seen a jump plate, but I think that would maybe help me a little bit because then I could probably get two hands and then do a pull up. But
Yeah.
like to I could definitely get one hand, and like people who could get one hand were having no issue getting up, but not me. So I need like two full hands. So yeah, I'd say they're maybe like on par with like Spartan race. Not that hard, but like challenging for normal people and me. But again, it's more inclusive. Like, so you get a little bit of a challenge. Like if you're someone who really likes like Savage Race because of the challenge, yeah, these are not that. Though I did see Bone Frog look pretty tough.
Bone Frog looked good. Some of their obstacles look really good. That one, I think, I don't know if I sent it to you, Beth, but it's like an endless monkey bar wheel.
Yeah, I
What?
saw that.
And
Yeah, that was
that is
cool.
not for everybody.
No, that's not for most people.
Yeah, I loved it. I was like, I'm ready to go to a Bone Frog now because of that. But I'm like, that is not, I don't know what their system is for elite as far as, is it mandatory completion or is it some kind of point system? I don't know what it is. I'll have to look it up because with
It's
the new.
well, it used to be mandatory completion.
That's
So
awesome.
if they're not, I don't know if they're still going with that, but I'm pretty sure they are because I know the girl that was down at Native X, the one that has the shaved hair,
Oh yeah.
Leah, she was there, but I don't know if she like lost her wristband because I didn't see her in the results.
Yeah,
But
unusual.
she
She's a pretty
did
good
awesome.
obstacle.
I know. That's why I was like, dang, those must have been really hard. I'm glad I didn't go there. I was just imagining, or I just, I was just messing with her when we were at the race, and I was like, "So, what would you rate this like rig as like toughness?" And I think she was just trying to be nice, but I want to say like, yeah, it's. She was like, "It's not so bad," or something like that, and I was like, "Yeah, it only took me. I probably wouldn't have figured it out if somebody didn't like tell me like, oh, do it like this." So that is one thing I really like about OCR that I miss. I feel like people are more, well, at least in like Tough Mudder, like, cause you can retry those and Savagery, be like, oh, try this, like, or whatever. Like they're trying to help you out so you can figure out how to accomplish the obstacle.
Sometimes it just takes that fresh set of eyes on a rig that gets you. It's just like, well, just move this hand here.
Oh, yeah.
Brick.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, super. Now, got it.
Yeah. So, anyway, so Meg broke your record, so you decided to go out and smash her. So that was kind of mean of you. What's going on with that?
I feel like smash is
obliterated it
by one whole second. And I didn't even look at my watch because I was like, either I got it or I don't have it. So, because it was nice. I don't know if you saw a lot of the videos, but maybe you saw the one where me and Luke did the relay. No, that one was on YouTube, but it was a loop. So it was like any Deca fit. Yeah. So for the mile individual is actually really good, but for the relay, I think because I was running faster, like the curves were a little sharp. But you know, if you're not like just trying to all out sprint, like it actually ran really smooth for the mile. But they did a great setup. Yeah. So I didn't look at my watch and they were like yelling at me. It was like great crowd fare too. Like there was like probably 30 people at the burpees when I'm like finishing and they're all just like yelling and I'm like dying. And so, yeah, it was good.
So you got to buy 1 second. So I kind of excited because I like seeing all three distances have three different record holders. Because it makes worlds look more exciting.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Meg doesn't try to find a mile and take it back before that. but yeah, it was very, very hot in there. I would say, I think I could have probably, you know, finagled a little bit more time, but it was hotter inside than outside. I was like, how is this possible? We get like the coolest day of the year in the South on a Saturday. It's like 70 outside, but inside of this warehouse, it's got to be like 85 degrees.
Ugh.
And I'm motherfucker. Like, I mean, bleep, mother bleeper. but one of my clients ran it and she ran a PR. She was like, the heat just really got to me. So it was pretty hot in there. But I mean, the course layout, I couldn't imagine anything better unless you could set up a one loop course.
Did you guys see the layout for that? A road show in Indiana.
It was on a track. It was on an indoor track.
It looked amazing.
I think that most people's times I compared were like a minute faster than a normal Deca fit.
Oh, look at
that. Are you talking about the one where Morgan Schultz won?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, like Josh Gonzalez. He
ran a huge PR, like a minute and a half. Minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Running like course definitely matters. Like that course at Carolina was kind of garbage. Like,
yeah, because we would have been like low 28s then.
Yeah. Well, there was just too many sharp turns. Like I heard that PA was a nice run course, like smooth. Would you say that? Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what did you think about Carolina, Dave? Those two back corners were pretty tight.
Yeah, the difference being
like Steve thing.
Yeah, and they had that little chicane in there, and the problem I think in Carolina, the course was narrower too. So if you were trying to, you had to cut the corners more. Whereas in Philly, it was more of a square, less of a rectangle and more of a square. So and the course is wider, so you could really keep momentum up through the corners.
Yeah, because I compared. Like my 5K compared from Knoxville to Carolina was like a lot slower. And I compared Michelle's 5K from Carolina to
Philly.
Philly was like 40 seconds faster. I think my 5K from Knoxville, which was a better run course, was like 45, 50 seconds slower. So I think that people that don't run don't realize how much like sharp corners like really affect your ability to run. So and two, if you're a runner, it affects you even more because the faster you're running, mm-hmm. the more you have to decelerate like around the corners. So, but I guess when everybody gets on the same course, it doesn't really matter because we're all running in the same course. But it just sucks if there's like qualifying times, especially as people get like closer. Like I acknowledge that like the mile that I ran was a better course than most people get to run. So like if I was on the bubble, you know, I could be knocking somebody out that's like technically would probably beat me on the day, but I got a course that wasn't like the cross country course that I ran, you know, a month ago with like 27 turns in the grass in and out of a building. Like, so I, that's the one thing I don't really like about the, and I understand the affiliate stuff, but I'm like, there's too much variance, like between equipment, course setup, like all that stuff. You can set up a deck of strong, probably at least 15 seconds faster if you set it up correctly versus if you set it up kind of shitty.
Yeah. I know that I watched, so Underdog had a lot going on today that or this weekend. They had theirs going, and Bubble sets up a good course. Like they had
a racer, so he knows, like, yeah. You know, I think a lot of the gyms that set stuff up, maybe they're affiliates, but they're not racers. They're just like, they might do it, but they do it for fun and they don't really care if, like, oh, there's three steps here, there's two steps here, you have to turn this way. Like,
yeah.
So they don't think about that kind of stuff. So when you get somebody who's a competitor like Bubbles setting up a course, he's going to set up the best course possible.
I mean, the way he did it, like everything was just bang, 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 bang. And even when you went to the farmer carry end of the tank, it was literally, you know, for the farmer carry, you stepped off the ski and you were at the farmer carry. There was no movement, and then you're back and forth. And as soon as you're done the farmer carry, you were right onto the bike. It was just everything led right into each other. And the run was a bit of a loop, right? So it would, the turns weren't as sharp and you could maintain momentum. So,
oh, was it one loop?
Yeah, one loop.
See, that's even better.
Yeah. Now it was outside, right? They had apparently a very hot day, but they had the weather to do it outside. And I think he does that as much every time he can, he moves it outside because they got this big parking lot and they just do a nice big loop with it and it produces fast times. So, I mean, you know, hey, you want to get a good time, go to one of Bubble's events because he sets up a damn good course. And apparently so does this place. I'd like to check that out too. What was the gym called?
X Gym Sports Mall.
Okay.
It's like in this big like warehouse. They got like basketball courts and stuff. Like the guy that puts it on, him and his partner tied the mile relay after we broke the record. So they're quick too.
Was that Keaton?
Yep.
Keaton and Marissa Pope.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Remember they were the ones that were 2 seconds behind us in Carolina.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
That was them. So they're really fast. You know, and plus they were putting on the event all day, so they were on their feet for like 10 to 12 hours, and they ran like the last heat of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously not ideal because we were trying to race each other, but it just didn't work out because he had like a sold out event and he had to, you know, do event people stuff.
She's got some solid box overs.
She does.
Those are quick.
Her and Tate can go like head to head.
I would like to see that actually. I would like to see them do a head to head with that.
I almost fell. I was like, I box overs and like since my last decade, this is not good, which is promising though, because I'm like, once I get practice, then I can get some more time off.
There you go. Everything's relative. You can always get more time off. So yeah, I guess, like you said, we promised we'd keep this short for you today. So Beth, you got anything else for Tara?
No, I do not. Yeah, congrats, Tara, on your recent world record in the mile and with your partner. So, yeah, we will see you at Worlds, hopefully, and yeah, keep crushing it.
Y'all gotta win. Y'all gotta defend your title.
Yes, Heather and I.
So, are you're qualified for the fit now, right?
Well, no. Hopefully with roll downs. I'm sitting in like 22nd right now.
Okay.
But Viola's got her name on there twice, so realistically, you're 21st, aren't you?
Yes, yeah, that's right.
I mean, they have it the same weekend as Stockholm, so I would imagine that Michaela and Viola will be going to Stockholm.
Yeah. So hopefully I'll be there for
I
that.
think there'll be a, I think there'll be enough of a roll down. But anyway. All right. Well, thanks so much, Tara, and we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you later.